Hey guys, today I have a phenomenal interview to share. Meet Lauren from the travel blog Wonderlulu. Lauren inspires women to take solo trips around the world to experience personal growth, self-awareness, and build self-confidence. Today we are going to dive deep into how you can travel on a budget, start a beautiful and successful travel blog without having to constantly be on the road, and we're going to talk about being the independent girl power babe we all strive to be every day. You're listening to the Hannah Ashton Podcast, the show for dreamers and achievers, and where women can learn how to create their own digital success that leads to a healthy and happy career. I'm your host, Hannah, a YouTuber, entrepreneur, public speaker, and college student, and I am so glad you're here. I can't wait to spill all my secrets and all my interviewees' tips with you all today. So let's get started. Hey, Lauren, welcome to the Hannah Ashton Podcast.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
And why don't you tell the listeners where you are recording from today?
Sure. So I am currently in Bogota, Colombia.
The farthest place I've ever interviewed someone from. So this is really exciting.
Oh, that's so cool. Awesome.
Yes. So first, Lauren, I'd love to hear a little bit about your story and how you got into travel blogging.
Sure. Absolutely. It's kind of funny how it all worked out. It wasn't like this dream since I was a little girl that I wanted to be that. It kind of just happened over time through my passion. So after I graduated from university, I worked full time, 9-to-5 type thing at a really great fashion company in Boston. But every day and every moment of the day, I was thinking about when I could go on my next trip. And I was working, you know, full time and then as a waitress at night, and just so I could save up money so I could travel whenever there was an opportunity. So over time, I kind of realized like, okay, this is obviously a really deep passion I need to explore. And kind of on a whim, I decided to apply for a working holiday visa in Australia. And I was granted that. And then I moved to Australia semi on a whim to explore this passion of mine to marry my background in writing and marketing with travel. So that's kind of how it all started.
I love that. So spontaneous and fun. And was your trip to Australia, was that by yourself? Were you with friends?
Yeah, so I would say that's probably my first solo journey I ever went on. When I decided I was going to do this, I didn't know anyone there. I didn't have a job set up. I didn't have an apartment. Like I kind of just rocked up to Australia and was like, I'm here. So it was really my first hack at the solo thing. But it was great because I ended up, you know, making a little life there and making friends, and I got a job, and it was great. But my first real solo travels didn't really start until I started traveling Asia.
That sounds amazing. So when you were getting ready to go to Australia, what were some of the fears, if you had any, or maybe it was just pure excitement, but did you have any fears about, you know, going to this new country, this new place, not knowing anyone and kind of figuring out your life in a different country?
I mean, I don't think anyone is ever like, I'm completely fearless. You know, like, of course, there's always some doubts and things like that. But I was so excited to put myself out there and just go for this. It was my push. Like, I was giving myself the push to follow through on a dream I had had for a while.
I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, like, even though there were some fears, it was more, you know what? The fears mean you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone to accomplish something bigger. So that's what I did.
Yes. So what would be a tip you could give me? Because I'm not going to another country. I'm staying in my same state. But as I move to this next transition of college and you moving out of the parents' home for the first time, you know, it's like that same thing, like making new friends, getting acquainted. What would be your tip for me to, you know, really immerse myself in this new atmosphere and feel comfortable?
Absolutely. And congratulations. That's so exciting, by the way.
Thank you. I'm very
Good for
excited.
you. And you know what? I always say, my blog, Wander Lulu, my whole thing is about empowerment through solo travel. And my goal is to inspire every woman to take at least one solo trip in their life. But it doesn't have to be, this massive thing like I did, quit on my jobs and leave my friends and family behind to explore across the world. Like, it doesn't have to be this big thing. It can just be, an overnight to the town nearby, or like you said, you're going to college and you're going, going to have this whole new experience. And I think it's just putting yourself in the mindset of when you open yourself up to new people and opportunities, amazing things can happen.
Yes, I agree. I'm very excited. And for anyone wanting to get into solo travel, yeah, I think that's an awesome way to just get started. Like you said, it's just exploring your city or going into the town next to you. So you always talk about how solo travel, like you said, is one of the best things a woman can do to, grow. And I want to know how traveling solo has impacted you and why you believe every woman should take at least one solo travel trip in their life.
So like I said to you, my first major solo journey was to Australia, and plenty of challenges arose during that time. But I'm going to really focus on a 3 month travel through Southeast Asia solo that really solidified my beliefs that solo travel can change your life. And truthfully, I didn't know that that's what it was going to be like. I didn't know that Wander Lulu and everything that I'm doing now, I never had like, oh, that's gonna be what I focus on. It wasn't until I experienced it and said, wow, this is so amazing, that that kind of became my focus. So I'll give you a few examples. Solo travel is extremely challenging. When you don't have another person to rely on or to speak with or even commiserate with, if something goes wrong and you kind of have somebody to be like, oh, this sucks, or you're on your own, and you are the sole person who can figure out how to make it a better situation. And so it really challenges you to look introspectively and find a way to push through the different challenges. And to me, it showed me my weaknesses and things that I needed to work on as a human being, and it showed me some of my strengths that I didn't know I had.
I'd love to know some of those examples. So, what were some challenges that you overcame, through those trips, and what were some of the strengths you learned about yourself?
That's an amazing question. I have some really interesting challenges
I'm sure.
that came about. I'll give you three specific examples. So a few of them are pretty dramatic. When I was in Thailand, I actually got into some really bad car accidents and motorbike accidents. I actually got into three in 1 week.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was a really intense week. I spent a decent amount of time in the Thai hospital. Nothing too serious, just like minor injuries and things like that. But I was solo, and so going to the Thai hospital and needing to get your wounds cleaned out, and then you don't have like a friend to take care of you, or like a friend or boyfriend or family member to rely on or talk to. And so I'll never forget. And here's where it kind of comes together with the challenge to like persevere. And also another thing I want to touch on, which I think is so amazing about solo travel, is how it opens you up to meeting new people that I truthfully do not think you would meet if you were with a best friend, a boyfriend, a mom or a dad. And so, I just came out of the hospital, got my wounds dressed, and I'm back in my hostel room. And I'm kind of whimpering, I'm kind of in pain. I go into the bathroom to change my wound dressings, and I'm crying. I mean, I'm in pain, and I'm by myself, and I'm feeling a little down. Of course, you're going to have those downswings. And a girl, this Chinese girl who's also traveling, who's in the hostel room next to me, overheard, and she came in. We did not speak the same language, and she started to like help me clean the wounds and change the wound dressings. And it was that moment of like human connection where you just realize that, wow, people are amazing and you don't need to like be from the same place or speak the same language to have those human connections.
I seriously got chills. I love that story. Oh, that's so beautiful.
And I'll never forget her, you know, like I can picture her to this day. This was multiple years ago. And the next day I come into my hostel room and there's a little note and a little candy bar, her saying like, I hope you feel better.
Mm.
I didn't know this girl, you know, like we didn't know each other, but she put herself out there to help me. And, you know, it just a really cool story. But
yeah,
so that's like one challenging thing that you go through on your own, but there's always someone you meet who's like willing to help. Let's see, another, this is probably my favorite one. My last trip to Southeast Asia, I was in Malaysia. And I was having this fabulous day touring around Kuala Lumpur, and I had street food that morning, and I'm a big proponent for street food. I think it's the best way to try local flavors and local cuisines when you travel. But
yeah,
I came down with some pretty serious food poisoning. And I was traveling to the Batu Caves, which are a little outside of Kuala Lumpur, and I started to feel like sweating and oh my gosh, this is such a bad situation. And without having to get too graphic with you, I did end up getting very sick once I got off the train, like hands and knees in the middle of a path, like people are walking all around me. But this is what I mean by like you need to figure out what to do in these situations. I had taken this train 30 minutes outside the city to see this temple, and I'm like, I am not leaving this place until I see this temple. And there were like,
perseverance, man.
Exactly. And like, I don't know if I would have persevered, you know, if there was someone there like, oh, it's okay, we'll just stay behind. Like in my own head, I was like, you know what? You're here. You can do this. And I pushed myself I went to the top of the stairs. There were 270 something stairs, like made it to the top of the stairs and saw that temple. And even though I felt very ill, like I still pushed through so that I could experience what I wanted to experience.
Mm. Yes. Oh, such good stories.
And I'm serious. These are like real true stories. I wrote about this on my blog, actually. It's kind of funny. And then let's see, even something smaller, like getting lost, right? You're traveling, like this happened to me multiple times, but I think of a specific situation in Vietnam. I was dead set on like, I wanted to be like a local. I wanted to take the local transportation and figure out how to use the bus system and whatever. And I was in Hanoi and I got so incredibly lost. Like I was so far away from where I needed to be. And I could have just like started crying and gotten really upset and been like, what do I do? But when you're in those situations, you look for a solution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have anyone to rely on. So you're like, okay, what do I need to do to get to where I need to go? And it pushes you to, yeah, like look inside yourself, find that spark and like get, you know, figure out the challenges.
Right. Yeah. I get scared when I get lost in like my own city and then I'm just like Google Maps. Okay. Where do I need to go? But that is a challenge. And yeah, I can totally see how that would just make you feel so strong and so independent and like, okay, I can do this, and just relying on yourself. That's awesome.
Absolutely. The word, like you just said, a sense of independence. It's unbelievable what it can do for your independence level, your confidence level. Like after you go through all of these, it's hard in the moment and you look back and you say, wow, I did all of that on my own. I figured out all of that on my own. It's a really amazing feeling.
Yeah, I love that. A question I'm wondering is, do you have like a home base that you stay in part of the year and then travel the rest of the months, or are you just always on the go?
I am not always on the go. That is definitely a misconception. I very much have a home base. I am from Western Massachusetts. I lived in Boston for close to a decade. So I kind of toggle between staying with friends in Boston, mostly staying with my family in Western Massachusetts, where I work from. And then also Bogota, Colombia is my other home base. So I would say spend like a third of the year in Colombia.
Oh, and why'd you choose Colombia?
Actually, my boyfriend lives here. It's really funny. People are really surprised to find out that I'm in a long-term relationship. because I'm such a proponent for solo travel. Really, what you think that a lot of times people have this wrong, like a misconception that when you solo travel, it means that you you are a solo person. You don't have, you know, connections or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever. But to me, that's it's regardless of you know, relationship or marital status.
Yeah, I love that. And because I see that sometimes in just, you know, an everyday aspect where it's like, oh, you can't be, you know, this strong, independent woman if you have a boyfriend, you know, beside you. And I'm just like, whoa, 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 these aren't connected in that way. Like, I love that you touched on that.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with that statement more. It's like, I think that it doesn't matter, you know, who you're with, or you should be able to do whatever you want and to discover yourself however you must.
Absolutely. So I see on your blog that you have, you know, great blog posts about how to start solo traveling, and even some, you know, on a smaller budget. Like, you have one where you can do NYC in a few days under $300, which is awesome. So
yes.
If someone is, you know, keeping those pennies in a jar, saving up for their first trip, how would you recommend to, you know, use their money the most wisely? And what is a number you would recommend having saved up before you take your first trip?
You know, it truthfully depends on where you're going. I can tell you right now that if you were on a really strict budget, wow, the things that you can do in Vietnam for your money is pretty amazing. I mean, this was quite a few years ago. So at this time I was more on, like, you know, backpacker budget, very much staying in, like, you know, you can find $4 hostel type thing. Street food for a few bucks. It's really just a matter of getting there. And so I always recommend putting a Skyscanner alert. Do you know the app or the website Skyscanner?
No, I don't actually.
Okay, definitely write that down. You can search for flights through Skyscanner, and then you can do you can search to anywhere and by cheapest month. So you can, like, really, if you're open to it, you can go. You can find flights for super cheap somewhere. You know, if you're able to go whenever, it's a really great tool. But if you want a specific place, you can also set alerts. So, you know, if you're like, okay, I'm going to Vietnam, I know it's going to be a really cheap trip and it's going to be beautiful, you can go onto Skyscanner, set an alert to show when the lowest price is for that destination.
That is great. Okay, guys, I will put that website in the show notes on hannahashton.com. So you guys can go right there. Super easy. Thank you for that tip.
Yeah, no worries. And then, once you're there, trying to find, you know, again, if you are on the more budget, trying to find hostels, and there's so many free things you can do when you travel, you know,
right.
you don't have to spend all this money on these, like, crazy tours, you know, like huge group tours or things like that. Like, you can do stuff on your own and feel confident about it.
Absolutely. That's great. But now I want to kind of switch it to the opposite of that and talk about, I may pronounce this wrong, but the Pangea Dreams Blogger Retreat. Is that?
Yes, you said it perfect.
So that actually blew me away. Guys, you should check out this website. I'll also put it in the show notes. You went to this big blogger retreat in Bali, right? I would love to hear about that experience and, you know, if it was worth it, if bloggers who are wanting to connect in the beautiful setting, if it's worth it for them and how they can get into it.
Sure. So I do have to say that was the best decision I ever made in investing in my business and to turning my blog more into a business. I went on the first ever blogger retreat. It was, you know, Tracy, the founder, she had never run one before, and me and a few other girls, you know, we were the attendees on it. And it was a turning point in my blogging career. It catapulted me into, like, a more business mindset and what I needed to do to take my blog and my brand to the next level. So I cannot express enough how worth it I think it is. And I know all the women that I went on the retreat with are absolutely killing it. We are still, like, really close friends. I have lifelong friendships through it. I'm still very involved in Pangea Dreams. It went, me attending the first one ever and learning all these amazing things and these networking connections to now I actually am a trip leader for the company. So I led my first one with Tracy. who, again, who's the founder, back in Cambodia in February. And it was a 2-week long, like intensive training, blogging, Instagramming training, over the course of 2 weeks, two sets of different girls. And I'll be doing my next one in Bali in October, and hopefully 3 to 4 next year.
Oh my goodness, guys, this retreat looked phenomenal. It starts with yoga in the mornings, you know, looking out on the beaches and the beautiful pools and healthy dinners at local cafes. It looked amazing. And it is definitely on my like 5-year bucket list to attend one of these. And I definitely want to attend one with you as the trip leader. I think that'd be so fun.
That would be so amazing, Hannah. We would love to have you. And it's such a welcoming atmosphere. Everyone is welcome. It doesn't matter if you have, you know, zero following or you have, you know, a million views on your YouTube channel. It's open to anyone, and it's a week long journey of learning from each other. There are workshops about photography and photo editing, videography, how to grow your Instagram, how to reach out to brands and work with, you know, on collaborations. It's really amazing. But for me, the best part is the group of women and the network you get out of it.
Yes, I'm sure that is just priceless, honestly.
We look forward to having you one day.
Thank you. I'm so excited. As you guys know, this podcast is sponsor free, but I wanted to tell you all about the course that I love, made and created for you by yours truly. And that is my 4 weeks to launching and sustaining a successful YouTube channel. I put my heart and soul into this course, and I'm so happy to be sharing it with you guys. So if you want more information on how you can launch your dream YouTube channel and know the tools and knowledge of a 5-year YouTuber just in 4 weeks or less, then hop on over to my website, hannahashton.com, and go under course. It'll also be in the show notes of this podcast on there. Okay, hope you enjoy the rest of the show. How are you looking to grow as a travel blogger over the next year? Are you going to any new hotels or new destinations, or do you have any new projects coming up?
Right now, I'm really focused on expanding my knowledge base in Colombia. It's been, you know, I've had this unique opportunity. I've been coming down here for the past 3 years, on and off, and Colombia is just exploding as a tourist destination, as a travel destination. And so a lot of my content for Colombia is performing really, really well on Google. So I've decided to really focus on, you know, really building up my content here, and cross your fingers. I'm hoping to, you know, who knows, maybe work with the tourism board here. I've worked with multiple hotels and tour companies within the country, and I plan to continue to do that. And so I'm really focused on that. Other than that, I'm going to be, of course, going back to Bali for the Pangea Dunes retreat. And it's a little unfortunate, the situation in Nicaragua right now. You know, praying for the people. I hope that things work out, and you know, the government tensions and things like that kind of fall a little bit. But I have two best friends that I actually met abroad getting married there, and so I'm hoping to do at least a week or two long trip through the country. But of course, you know, you do have to be careful when there's some kind of like political turmoil going on in certain countries.
Right. Well, that sounds like an amazing lineup. Oh, so great.
And yes, thank you.
You do travel blogging full time?
It is basically my full time gig. Still working on, you know, you have to be realistic. And I think a lot of times people don't say the realness behind it, but it's a lot of work to, you know, make it into a full-time thing. I do not make a full-time living from blogging. It's the goal, and I'm working on that. But on the side, I do some social media management and kind of like branding consulting and things like that.
Nice. Yeah, I'm sure travel blogging is, you know, even more difficult to stay on top of than just fashion blogging, because fashion blogging, you can buy a new outfit and you're good to go. But with travel blogging, you need new pictures and new places. And so what would be your tip for people wanting to start a travel blog? You know, how do you take bulk photos in a place to last you on Instagram? Or what would be a great tip for just starting out and being able to keep it consistent?
So I have a two-part answer to this. I received some really amazing advice from Do you know Nomadic Matt? He's like one of the biggest travel bloggers in the world.
Yes.
Yes, of course. I received some really great advice from him a few years ago that I wish I had taken, better at the time. Now, years later, I'm like, oh, you're right. And now I'm doing it. But if you want to start a travel blog, but you know, it's not the time where you can just be gallivanting around the world. I totally understand that. Make your hometown or make the city, the big city nearby, like your go-to place, and make it your, become an expert in that and write about it. Do your photo shoots there, like really become an expert in one specific place, and it will kind of get your feet wet in like what kind of content you need to create, what kind of articles you maybe want to write. And so when you do have the opportunity to go maybe, you know, for a week somewhere else, you kind of have an idea of what needs to be done while you're there. So one thing I recommend is getting, of course, because I'm a solo traveler and I'm the biggest proponent of solo travel, my main thing, my best friend when I travel is my tripod. And using a tripod to get all of your photos, like you can really bang out a decent amount of images when you're traveling. So I would definitely recommend investing in like a small travel tripod, like a Joby Gorilla Pod or something. Mm-hmm. You probably have one, right?
Yes.
You're such a YouTuber. So.
Of course. Well, funny story. Mine broke. I can't find like the attachment for the camera to the tripod. So I have to buy a new one. And right now I'm using like my ring light stand as a tripod. And then my ring light's on the floor. You know, we just make do over here.
Hey, you got it. Yeah. You got to make do. One more piece of advice. Cause you had said, yeah, like when you want to get bulk photos, mm-hmm. What I try to do is do a ton of research before I go somewhere. So let's say I only have, like, for example, I'm just going to be super real with you. I was recently in Quebec City for the Women in Travel Summit. It's a conference run by She's Wonderful, which is another amazing company you have to check out. So it's a, you know, 500 female travel bloggers, influencers, or you don't even have to be, you want to get involved. You can attend this conference and it's this amazing networking opportunity. And there's all these workshops and tons of learning, packed into a weekend. So anyone listening who wants to break into the travel industry in the travel blogging, I would 100% recommend going to one of these. The next one is in Portland, Maine next year.
Ooh, okay.
So for example, I was working with the conference as a social media personality. So I was super busy throughout the conference, you know, taking images and writing captions and tagging and everything that goes along with social media. So I was there for 5 days, but I didn't actually like explore Quebec City the way I wanted to. So I only had like 2 days after to see it all. And so I put a plan together and I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. But I was very open to like, you know, if I came by some street art or a really cool cafe, I was open to, you know, exploring in a more wandering way. Cause that's kind of how I like to do it. But I had in my head, all right, this is the content I want to get. And yeah, I banged out like, oh my goodness, over like 40 images I can use.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing for.
Yeah.
Social media. Wow.
But you got to do, you know, like you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Right. And honestly, you know, it's hard to set up the tripod and you recommend using a remote or a self timer, but when you're not with someone else, you don't have to worry about taking up their time and you can spend as much time as you need getting the perfect photo.
You know, I love that. And I honestly want to go back into my post and add that in because that is an important thing. Like you don't feel like you're wasting somebody's time. Like you're just doing your own thing. You're taking your own photos. It doesn't come out the way you want. You just do it again. And there's no one like behind the camera hemming and hawing or anything like that.
Right. It's perfect. Well, Lauren, my last question for you is, what is your favorite motivational quote and why?
So it's a quote by Charlie Chaplin and it's super short, super to the point. And it literally just says, you have to believe in yourself. That's the secret.
Mm.
And it's super short. It's super like But to me, it says everything you need in order to make your dreams come true. Like at the end of the day, the only thing holding you back is the fact that you don't think you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works so perfect with your whole brand of, you know, the secret to solo traveling is you. It's believing in yourself.
100%. Couldn't have said it better.
Well, perfect. Thank you so much, Lauren, for being on the show. This was so insightful. I cannot wait for this to go live. Like, it was a great conversation, a great episode. I'm so excited.
Hannah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate, you know, you taking the time to chat with me. So thank you.
Of course. Interviewing Lauren was such a delight. I love her and can't wait to continue following her through all of my life adventures. Now it is time for the Boss Babe takeaways. We got lots today. Number one, just try taking a solo trip in your life. As we heard so many times, it is amazing to build your self-confidence, problem-solving, independence, self-love, and more. If you've taken a solo trip in your life, I would love to hear about it. So tell us on Instagram, tag Lauren and I. We would love to read. Number two, you don't need a huge savings or to be a huge travel blogger to experience the world. Go to the show notes on hannahashton.com to find out how you can travel cheaper and more authentically. Number three, you can be, I love this one, you can be a strong, independent woman no matter your relationship status. Long-term, single, long-distance, married, discover and love yourself first, and then you can pass your love on to your partner. And then we have some travel blogging takeaways. One, if you're wanting to start being a travel blogger, make your hometown your expert location. She went into great detail about how to do this. And number two, buy a tripod. It's that simple. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Now, I want to know your thoughts. Post a screenshot of you listening to the podcast on your Instagram story and tag me. We can then have a fun DM chat about all things business, social media, life, and honestly, whatever else. Let me know what you want to see more of in this podcast and what you already love about it in an iTunes review, and I will catch y'all next time. Just remember to dream, believe, and achieve. Bye!